الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
الحمد لله الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على دين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا به وتوحيدا، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما مزيدا. أما بعد، and inshallah we will continue from last week's introduction to Bulugh Maram from the Ahadith related to Ahkam, and more specifically the Ahadith related to fasting and Siyam, because of the fact that in a few days, inshallah ta'ala, we will be inshallah fasting. So it's befitting that we study some of the Ahkam, some of the benefits, some of the rulings and statements from the ulama of the Salaf and those after them from Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, as it relates to fasting, his benefits and his rulings and so forth. Last week we dealt with an introduction, and what we'll do inshallah ta'ala next week, we'll revise last week and this week's lesson inshallah in the first 5 or 10 minutes. So what we'll do now inshallah, we'll deal today is we'll deal with the definition of as-siyam. The first thing we're going to deal with is the definition of fasting. And then the second thing we're going to deal with, inshallah ta'ala, are the fruits and benefits from fasting, as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, began the chapter by that, and it's befitting. And then, inshallah ta'ala, we'll deal with the first hadith of Kitab al-Siyam, and that's an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So, billahi tawfiq, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq, to be from those who worshipping upon how he's supposed to be worshipped, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Hajar Asqalani in Bulugh Maram, he said, Kitab al-Siyam. Kitab al-Siyam. So this is the first point we're going to deal with, the definition of Kitab al-Siyam. We've dealt with previously in many lessons the definition of Kitab. Like you say, Iktataba al-Hisan, Iktataba al-Hisan, which means that horses were gathered together. Horses or stallions were gathered together. So the word kitab comes from something that's gathered. So when we say kitab, it means generally something where words, sentences and so forth are gathered together. So that's when the ulama, they say kitab, something's been gathered. And it's specific depending on that which he's gathering. And Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said kitab al-siyam, which means the ahadith and the ahkam, and this is based upon his what? Based upon his introduction. So we know what his intent is. So this is the ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pertaining to fasting. Pertaining to what? Fasting. And then he brings different sub-chapters related to this. So that's the definition of kitab. Number two, the definition of siyam. The definition of Siyam. We're going to deal with that in two aspects. The first is linguistically, logatan. Linguistically, the definition of Siyam is al-imsak. Linguistically, the definition or the meaning, I should say, of a Siyam is al-imsak. And that is to abstain. So you generally can do Siyam of speech, meaning you abstain from speaking. You could do siyam of going somewhere. Yeah, and you abstain from going somewhere. So the general meaning of a siyam linguistically is al-imsak. And that is to abstain. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he brings a definition, and so does Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan. Both of them are roughly the same, but we'd stick with the one from Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. And his definition of a siyam shar'an, he said, is huwa ta'abbudu lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala bil-imsak anil-mufattirat من طلوع الفجر إلى غروب الشمس. And that is the ta'abbud, the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through fasting, by what? Abstaining from those things that break your fast. From abstaining from those things that break your fast from Fajr to Maghrib. From Fajr to Maghrib. And those things that break your fast are generally three main categories. And that is what? Eating, drinking, and sexual relation. These are the three main things that break your fast. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned ta'abbud. Shaykh Saleh Al-Fawzan mentioned an-niyyah, lis-siyam, and both of them are the same. A ta'abbud meaning worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An intention that you intend to fast for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that which is eliminated from this, and that which is eliminated from this, is those that fast just to lose weight. That's not ta'abbud. That's not worship. As we know, there are certain diets, they call it the fasting diet, where you eat a certain amount of hours in a day, and then you abstain from food others. So therefore, this idafa and this specific inclusion of ta'abbud from Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen and an-niyya from Shaykh Saleh Fawzan is muhim jiddan, and that is what differentiates from somebody just leaving their food out of a dietary pattern or to lose weight, and those that do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing we're going to deal with is the wisdom behind fasting. It's the hikmah behind fasting. And the foremost one, that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا هِيُوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And that is his statement, subhanah, that, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you and prescribed for those before you, and he made obligatory upon you and made obligatory upon those before you in order for you to attain taqwa, in order for you to attain piety, righteousness. So therefore, from the benefits of fasting is that it aids the individual to attain taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. And verily Allah is with the muttaqeen. Allah is with those that are pious, those who have taqwa, who fear and revere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the benefits of fasting is that it aids the ibad to attain that. The second benefit from fasting is the fact that ibadat and worship, or different types of worship, can be generally categorized into three categories. Worship, umuman, can be generally categorized into three categories. The first of those, and that's when I say categories, A, related to what the ibad or what the slave has to do. So when I say three categories, that's in relation to what this is expected from the slave, expected from the worshipper. It's generally three categories. And the first of those is Badhul Mahbub. That's number one. Badhul Mahbubin. And that is giving up relinquishing that which you love. Relinquishing or giving up that which you love. Giving that which you love. Giving that which you love. Releasing that which you love. And the second category, as it relates to that which is expected from the ibad, is kaf and mahbub. It's kaf and mahbub. And that is refraining from something that you love. Refraining from something that you love. And the third one is al-amal fihi, and that is to perform something. And that is to perform. So the first one is giving that which you love. The second category is refraining from doing that which you love. And the third is performing an act. Is performing an act. As for giving that which you love, can anyone give me an example of that in ibadah? Zakat. Giving charity. وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. And that is giving charity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that you love wealth. You love what? Wealth. So giving wealth is something that is mahbub, is beloved to the worshipper. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered the worshipper to give this wealth in charity, whether it be zakat, the sanawiyan, the yearly one, or zakat, dealing with Eid al-Fitr and so forth. Bedl mahbub. And the example of bedl kaf and mahbub is an example of what? Yani refraining from that which you love. What's that example of, Anwar? Waking up from fajr, giving up sleep, anything else? Fasting. Fasting, because the desires yearn for food, drink, and relations. Okay? So, from the category, or the examples of the category of that, refraining from that which you love, is fasting. And the third one is al-amal fihi, and that is like performing it, shay'in min which has ta'ab as well, which has no min ta'ab, which has some type of effort, is like what? Salah, seeking knowledge, hajj, sahih wala? Hajj, where it has some ta'ab. And obviously within the secondary aspects of the ibadah of hajj, there are badl al-mahbub and kaf al-mahbub, but fundamentally, hajj is performing. Hajj is what? Performing, which requires you to make some effort, which requires you to make... So these are the three different general categories of ibadah, of worship, servitude, as it relates to that which is expected from the ibad. And it's from the wisdom of Allah that we have this. So from the fruits of the month of Ramadan, is that for those individuals that do not have the ability or to give money, for example, to give zakat, they have the ability to do what? To fast. And that's from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it allows every individual to perform ibadah of him subhanahu wa ta'ala, which further establishes that he's the one who deserves to be worshipped alone. And likewise, some people find it difficult or easy to give money. He has £50. And he wants to give charity, he'll give 45. He has £50 and he wants to buy a kitab, a book of ilm. It's not a problem for him. So he will spend that wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's easy for him. But for some people, they'll just give the minimum. It's difficult for them to do that which is obligatory upon them as related to zakat. But as for that which is preferred and encouraged, that's almost impossible for some of them. And for others, fasting is difficult. They love food. They love food. They love drink. They find it difficult to withhold their desires with their families and so forth, as is reported. So Allah has made it different types of ibadat that is a test for different types of people. So fasting that is a test for somebody, and zakat could be a test for another individual. And this is from the hikmah of the month of Ramadan, or the fasting, is that for those individuals that find it difficult, is for them to show the muhabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to exhort in effort in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying him in that which he has commanded. The second benefit or hikmah or wisdom behind fasting in the month of Ramadan, huwa ma'rifatu قدرة نعمة أو قدر نعمة الله تعالى على عباد. And that is that it reminds the ibad of the amount of blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. It's a reminder for the ibad of the amount of blessings, that's tanawwa, the different types of blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the ibad, from eating, from drinking and marriage. So therefore, the person who during the month of Ramadan abstains from fast, from eating, when it's time for him to eat, he appreciates that and is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he knows how it feels to be without. And likewise, the individual who drinks after breaking his fast, or in other than the month of Ramadan, for example, in the daytime when it's hot, he appreciates and is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he encourages him to be grateful and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he knows how it feels to be without. And therefore he also encourages him not to waste. And as for the nikah, the individual during the day, on the month of Ramadan, He abstains from approaching his family. So then it makes the husband and the wife more grateful for their companionship. It makes the husband and wife appreciate each other more as it relates to that bab. And this is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's from the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next benefit of fasting in the month of Ramadan is that it trains the nafs or the individual to have patience. It trains the individual to have patience. It trains the individual to have patience in the obedience of Allah. It trains the individual to have patience in staying away from that which Allah has prohibited. It trains the individual to have patience in the decree of Allah. In the decree of Allah, which are the three different types of patience. I'll say it again. The first, in fact, you say it. Fasting trains the individual to have patience in what, in which areas? Number one, to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that Allah has obligated that he fasts, so he fulfills that obligation. He fulfills that obligation, and that requires what? Patience. And then after Ramadan, for all of the awamir and all of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is trained to what? To be patient in obeying Ar-Rahman. And the second is what? Being patient as it relates to staying away from his prohibitions and nawahi, those things that he's prohibited, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the book of Allah, in his book, the Quran, and in the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he stays, he's training himself to stay away from those three fundamental desires in the month of Ramadan. Those three main desires, as the ulama have explained, the three ummahat, the three mothers of desires, are what? Eating, drinking, and sexual relation. And in Ramadan, the abd, the worshipper, has been trained to stay away from those three. So then he doesn't go into that which is haram afterwards. So that is the fruits, from the fruits of fasting in the month of Ramadan. And the third one is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Increases him to be patient as it relates to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially, for example, in England here. How many hours are we going to fast? Huh? Who decreed it? It's from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we be patient and know that لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, that Allah does not burden us all with more than he can bear. So therefore we have 18 hours of fasting. And it's from the decree. It's from the qadr. Some countries, Sweden, have how many? 22. It's from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the abd, he fasts. He complies. He worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he's commanded. Subhanah. And in that, he is trained with being patient in the decree of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. Number four, sir? Sahih, four, five, naam. The fifth one is during the month of Ramadan. It reminds us of those who don't have food. And Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentions this. Being without food for just a month, few hours a day, makes us and reminds us of those from the Muslimun that are having such situations throughout the whole year. And therefore it gives us the enthusiasm to aid them. The sixth benefit that we can see, or that is mentioned as relates to the month of Ramadan, is that during the month of Ramadan there's worship in all angles. During the month of Ramadan, there's worship in all angles. You stop eating ibadatan. You refrain from eating, and that's servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You break fast, and that's servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have suhoor, and that's servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qiyam al-layl, and that's servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this blessed month of Ramadan, Allah has given the ibad so many options and methods and ways of worshipping Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, So just to revise quickly, what are the benefits we've mentioned so far? Number one. Number one is what? Taqwa. And that covers all of it, really. Taqwa. And the second one? The second one is what? The different types of worship as it relates to what is expected from? The worship or the slave. Now, for example, number one is what? Bethel Mahbub. Yani, giving that which you love. Second, refraining from that which you love. Third, Al-Amrfi. And that's effort and ta'ab that occurs while you perform an action. For example, doing what? Hajj. For example, doing Hajj. And number three, the third one is a reminder of the different blessings and the magnitude of blessings that Allah has bestowed on the ibad. It's a reminder for the magnitude of blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed on the ibad. After that, it trains the individual to have sabr. And how many categories of sabr are there?
Three.
First one is what, akhi? Being patient ala ta'atillah, being patient upon the obedience of Allah. Second, being sabr ala maharimihi aw nawahi. Naam, being patient in staying away from those things that he's prohibited and those things that are haram. And the third one, a sabr ala aqdarillahi al-mu'lima, some of the ulama say aqdarillah. And some of the ulama say being patient upon that which is against your want. And you want food, you want drink, you want eat. It's against your want, but you're patient upon that. You're patient upon that. Now, is there any more? And a reminder of those who are without. Anything else? And there's worship in all angles. And that's the last one, sir. And that is that when you start fasting, it's ibadah. Throughout the day is what? As you, the throughout the day before Maghrib is what? Ibadah. And at Maghrib when you break fast because of dunya or because ibadah? Because of ibadah. And then when you have suhoor, it's because of what? Ibadah. And that's from the hikmah and the benefits that's behind fasting in the month of Ramadan. And that's why the ulama have mentioned that in this month of Ramadan, the abd and the ibad, they exhort effort in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more so than before. More so than before, because of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened as it relates to opportunities for the person to perform ibadah, and the individual that continues as normal is negligent. It should increase you in ibadah, ikhwan. Shahr Ramadan, alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran, that the month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed. So we should increase in our qira'ah of the Quran, but we don't leave seeking ilm. We continue seeking ilm, but we increase in what? Qira'ah of the Quran. Naam. So inshallah, we leave it as that with regards to the benefits. I want to keep inshallah finishing another 15 minutes, bi'idhnillah. And we deal with, inshallah, with the first hadith of Bulugh al-Maram, as is placed by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahmatullahi alayhi, in Kitab al-Siyam. وَهُوَ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا تَقَدَّمُوا رَمَضَانَ بِصَوْمِ يَوْمٍ وَلَا يَوْمَيْنِ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ كَانَ يَصُومُ صَوْمًا فَلْيَصُمْ. And that is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is narrated by Abi Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu. Do not proceed Ramadan in fasting with a day or two before the day of Ramadan, yani the beginning of Ramadan, except for a man who usually fasts, so let him continue that fast. Except for a man who usually fasts, so let him continue that fast. In this, he says here in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, illa rajulun. So that's point number one, as relates to this hadith. لا تقدموا رمضان بصوم يوم ولا يومين إلا رجل كان يصوم صوما فليصم. Okay, so here in this hadith, we're going to deal with some benefits, inshallah, some fawaid from this hadith. The first is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, "Illa rajulun." He says, "Except for a man." This includes a woman. This includes a woman, because the asl in the ahkam and the rulings of the shar' as it relates to the nusus and the text is that even when a man is mentioned, it includes a woman, except if there's a dalil to show otherwise. Except there is a dalil to show otherwise. The second benefit as it relates to this hadith is that in linguistically it says illa rajulun. I'll tell you the general two meanings that comes out from this illa rajulun. The first meaning is that except for a man who usually fasts, yani the action is coming from a man. Okay? And the second one, except for a fast that a man can do. Okay? So generally all of it, what it means here, ikhwan, generally is the action of that man or that woman is that they fast on those days. They fast on those days. The third benefit, which is taken from this hadith, is that what is intended by the fast that he fasts. What is intent in Sawm and Yasum? What's intended by the fast that he fasts? Some of the ulama have had many differences of opinions as it relates to this. But that which is taken from this hadith and the gem of the nusus is that if, for example, he fasts the 3 days every month, it's from his norm to fast the 3 days every month, and it falls in those days, it's permissible for him to fast. If he fasts the fast of Dawood, what's the fast of Dawood? One day on, one day off. If he fasts the fast of Dawood, he what? He fasts that day. If it falls on a Monday or Khamis, Thursday, he fasts. If that is his norm. If that is his what? Norm that he fasts on those days. Or Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he says, for example, if he has a vow he needs to make up or something like that, nadr, a vow, then he can fast on that day. Okay? Then he can fast on that day. And the wisdom behind this, ikhwan, is that so the fasting of not the non-obligatory fast and the obligatory fast are not mixed up. The non-obligatory fast and the obligatory fast are not mixed up. The fourth benefit that is taken from, or let's say the fifth benefit that is taken from this hadith, the fourth benefit, I think there's two there, if you understand. The fifth benefit that is taken from this hadith is the permissibility to call the month of Ramadan just Ramadan. It's the permissibility to call the month of Ramadan just Ramadan. And Sana'ani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions a hadith which is narrated on Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he says, "La taqulu Ramadan. La taqulu Ramadan. Fa inna Ramadan min Asma'illah." He said, "And don't say Ramadan." There's a hadith that's narrated in Abu Hurairah that the Prophet, it was said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not say Ramadan." Yani, do not say Ramadan. Do not call it Ramadan, because Ramadan is from the names of Allah. And this hadith, the ulama have spoken about it a lot. We mentioned three or four statements from the ulama. The first statement from the ulama, which is mentioned by Ibn Abi Hatim in his Ilal. Ibn Abi Hatim in his Ilal, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that it's not the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but rather it's from the statements of Abu Hurairah. So it's not attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but rather it's from the statements of Abu Hurairah. The second statement of the ulama as it relates to this hadith is that the hadith is mawdu'. Is that the hadith is mawdu'. La asla lahu. La asla lahu. That the hadith is fabricated, placed in there, just put in there. Mawdu', just put in there. It's fabricated. La asla lahu. There's no basis for this hadith. There's no basis for this hadith. The third statement that is mentioned as it relates to this hadith is that which is mentioned by Yahya or relayed on Yahya ibn Sa'id. Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qahtani, I believe, rahmatullahi alayhi, Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qahtani, when a narrator in that isnad who was called Ibn, Abu Ma'shar, when a narrator in the isnad of that hadith who's called, his name is Abu Ma'shar, when he's mentioned, he laughs. Like, an Abu Ma'shar, he'll giggle. Why? Because the narrator is weak. And that was one of the signs on his ways of showing that the narrator is weak. So when that narrator was mentioned, he'll giggle or chuckle or laugh or so forth. The yadhak, yani. To show that this narrator is weak. And he's weak. And Yahya bin Ma'in, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, regarding this narrator, he said, Laysa bishay. Laysa bishay. He's not all that. That's the best way I can translate it. He's not all that. And when Yahya ibn Ma'in says that, it means that he's what? He's really weak. In the istilah, or the way of speech, as it relates to Yahya ibn Ma'in, when he says that, he's really, really weak. He's da'if. And Ibn Jawzi says it's mawdu'. And al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned it as from those hadiths that have been fabricated on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to add to the weakness of that, it's against the consensus. It's against the consensus because there's ijma' from the ulama of the salaf that Ramadan is not from the names of Allah. It's the consensus from the ulama of the salaf that Ramadan is not from the names of Allah. And from the benefits of this hadith, it shows again that this hadith is in difference to that which is authentic. Yani the hadith where it says, don't say Ramadan. Don't say what? Ramadan. Don't call it Ramadan. Yani call it month of Allah said, Shahr Ramadan. They're saying basically. The month of Ramadan. Don't say Ramadan. This hadith says what? لا تقدموا Shahr Ramadan or Ramadan? Ramadan. Don't proceed? Ramadan. And this hadith is muttafaqun alayh. This hadith is authentic and is authentic. It's from the books of what? Bukhari and Muslim. And it's opposed that. So from the benefits of this hadith, is that it shows the severe weakness of that initial hadith which says that Ramadan is from the names of Allah. So don't call the month of Ramadan, Ramadan. So don't call the month of Ramadan, Ramadan. Naam. And from the benefits of this hadith, may Allah preserve you all, is that it's a refutation against extremity. It's a refutation against extremism. And that is that from the reasons why it's been prohibited is that people have this doubt whether Ramadan is on Saturday or not. For example, that's our case, huh? Saturday or Sunday. So they have shek that it's Saturday or Sunday. So they say, you know what? I want to worship Allah. I have enthusiasm to worship Allah. So I'll just fast Friday as well, just in case. It's Friday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, just in case, so I get it right. This is what? This is what? Ghulu. This is extremism. This is extremism, and this hadith is a refutation against all types of extremism. This is just an example of it. In that which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following the Quran and the sunnah in all our ibadat, on all types of worship. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we will soon find, has told us when Ramadan will happen. Yani the signs and what to do when it happens. So here in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning against al-ghulu and extremism. As warning against al-ghulu and extremism. That, inshallah, I'll leave regards the benefits of this first hadith. I have a question. In this, at the tail end of this hadith, as he promised, Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, he gave us the ruling of the hadith. Or did he? He said, muttafaqun alayh. Did he give us the ruling of the hadith? He said, muttafaq alayh. Did he tell us this? He said, I will tell you if the hadith is authentic or not. Did he say it was sahih? Or did he just tell us where it was from? He told us where it's from. He said, muttafaq alayh. So he hasn't kept to his promise, sah? He's supposed to say, sahih, muttafaq alayh. Kada? Muttafaq alayh is him saying it's what? Sahih. Because the ummah talaqi habish hima bi qubur. The ummah is ijma, the ummah. They've taken that these two books, the Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, are the authentic hadith narration, the most authentic narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So by him mentioning muttafaq alayh, he's saying that the hadith is what? Sahih. He's saying the hadith is authentic because these two books are known to be authentic, have the authentic narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's their conditions that they've placed in their book. And there's stringent conditions, inshallah, one day we'll go through them. Muttafaq alayh means what? In the istilah of the muhaddithin. Agreed upon by who? All of the ulama of hadith are upon this. Sahih? Ah. Why? Who has a different understanding of what muttafaq alayh he means from the ulama of hadith? Huh? Ibn Taymiyyah's granddad. And what was his name? Ahmed was his name, or was that Ibn Taymiyyah's name? Huh? Granddad. Abdus Salam, Ahsant. Good. His name was Al-Majd Abdus Salam. And he was called Majd Ibn Taymiyyah. What was his understanding of agreed upon? Bukhari, Muslim, and Imam Ahmed, Mumtaz. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll leave it as that. And bi'idhnillah, next week, inshallah, we'll deal with narration and Amr, naam, Amr ibn Yasir, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as relates to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sawm yawm al-shak, and fasting on the day of doubt. And bi'idhnillah ta'ala, next week, inshallah, we'll deal with the benefits from this hadith. Bi'idhnillah ta'ala, wa sallallahu wa sallam, wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, alhamdulillah, 40 minutes, not too long. Next week, inshallah, starting from Friday with Qawaid Muthla, is going to be 7 p.m. inshallah. Next week it could be 7 p.m. inshallah, we'll be fasting, so we'll make it easy, inshallah. And we try and keep it 40 minutes, bi'idhnillah. And the week after that is a revision of the two lessons, and we do that, inshallah, every 2 weeks. We'll revise, inshallah, what we've taken. Hayakum Allah. The first hadith, okay. Do not proceed Ramadan with a day or two of fasting. Okay. Fasting, yeah. Except for a man who fasts, so let him fast. And except for a man who fasts means what? Whose norm it is to fast on that day. For example, Ramadan is on a Tuesday. Ramadan is on a Tuesday, and from his norm is to fast Monday and Thursday. So he is allowed to fast Monday. But as for somebody who doesn't usually fast Monday and Thursday, because it's not obligatory, he is not allowed to fast that day because it's not his norm.